This is the 919 Beer Podcast, part of the Capital Broadcasting Podcast Network. Now, here are your hosts for the 919 Beer Podcast, Joe Ovius, Adam Eschbaugh, and Wayne Holt.
Welcome to the 919 Beer Podcast, second week, Oviusless. I'm your host today, Adam Eschbaugh, with Wayne Holt, my esteemed partner, who's dealing with some acid reflux issues, I've just found out.
Yeah, we just had that conversation because I didn't want the coughing during this show.
You got a button for that.
To be mistaken for the Rona.
Yeah.
So,
hey, thoughts and prayers, Joe. Joe is on the mend. He's feeling better, but yeah.
Like, I mean, it took him a month to catch it. Yeah, his wife, his kids, everybody had it. And then, you know, everybody gets through it, and then he comes down.
Yeah.
I think it has to do with his sports radio stuff. You know, he's out and about, and he was at the Duke game, right? That's where he caught it up there in Durham with those Dukies.
No, he had to catch it from his family, his whole family. It went through his whole family first.
Well, not blaming it on the Dukies.
We're enjoying some great weather, and apparently more on the way. So we got that going for us. But anything new with you besides your new truck you just rolled into the office this morning?
It's my old truck was about worn out. It was 4 years old and had 23,000 miles on it. But it was not four-wheel drive, and I need a four-wheel drive, and I need a little bigger truck. That, like, we'd like to travel in that truck sometimes, and the other one was kind of tight with, you know, girlfriend, two kids, mountain bikes, gear, computers, backpacks. You know, you got two kids.
Jeez.
Yeah.
I leave them at home. It's easier. Yeah, well, it's easier to travel.
Yeah. Yours are old enough to do that, kind of.
It's easier to travel when it's just you guys.
So anyway, yes, I'm sporting a new vehicle.
Nice.
I like
this. So before we get with our guests, one thing we haven't mentioned, I mentioned to you this morning, I had a beer last night with our friend Ryan Beach from New Belgium. And I didn't even, sadly, apologies to our listener, I didn't even realize that there was now a connection with New Belgium and Bell's. Until Ryan told me last night.
So that means I can get a two-hearted at New Belgium and Asheville now?
I don't know if we're there yet. I don't think we're there yet. But I do know that, you know, the parent company with involved with Kirin, that's Japanese, yeah?
It is.
Purchased New Belgium a while ago now. Right. And more recently has purchased Bell's. So those guys are all on the same team, which is pretty interesting. And
some good beer coming out of all of that then.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, but it does not mean, just to clarify, it does not mean New Belgium owns Bell's now.
Correct.
That is not the thing. They're teammates on the bench, right?
So it's probably a little bit, well, you know, you got Dell's and you got, not Dell's, but you've got Oscar Fat Blues Tire. And you've got, Cigar City that are owned by the same group, and they do brew out of the same facility.
You mean Monster?
Well, yeah, Monster Energy owns them.
Had a conversation with her buddy Jamie. Heard about that on Tuesday.
Well,
so,
I mean,
yeah, a lot of moves with the bigger guys right now that we haven't really spent any time on because we've had such fabulous guests.
I mean, I can't wait for the Monster Energy IPA.
Oh, could you imagine
getting jacked up?
No, I can't do it. I don't even like Red Bull and vodka. I can't do that.
I've never had any of those, man. I'm so high strung anyway. If I drank one, I'd probably explode.
I'll keep with my single cup of coffee in the morning.
Yeah, that's me.
Anyway, back to beer, back to the task at hand. So we've got, like I've said, we're really focusing on bringing guests that we haven't had before. Not necessarily new guests or new breweries, but new guests for us and folks that are not necessarily from the Triangle, but you can find them in the Triangle. They're available here. And today is no different. So we're bringing on a new brewery called True Colors. And these guys are out of Wilmington. So we've got Spree and Press. Spree is assistant directing assistant director of marketing. I said that, not manager. And then Press is the brewer there at True Colors. And I'm not going to stumble over this story. I want them to tell
Absolutely.
It. Absolutely. Because you guys are living this, and I'm just as curious as everybody. I want to know all about it. But guys, first of all, thank you guys for making the trip up from Wilmington in the rain, or should I thank Megan, who's not going to talk, but she was your driver. But Spree, Press, thank you guys for coming on.
Appreciate it. Thank you for having us.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's just start, and I'm just going to kind of tee it up. Tell us what True Colors is and kind of the vision in which it started.
Yeah. Well, True Colors is a brewery. Of course, we already said that, but its main important aspect of it is the mission of ending gun violence, street violence, not only in Wilmington, but everywhere we can touch. It's pretty impressive, and it's a unique company because, of course, we're gang members, and we're trying to change the perspective on what it means to be gang and how to redirect our energy to more positive things.
So what? Let's just start there. Okay. So you explain that True Colors. Right away, some people were flags are going ears, up. Yeah. Say, wait, okay, right. Gang members.
I bet they leaned in. Like,
what does this mean? So this is you guys. When I was asking before, you know, I'm like, okay, it's former gang members active, and they're like, nope, everybody's active.
Right.
All right. What's that mean? Because I got people clutching their pearls right now.
Active just means to not be aged out and not just still being in the game. That's all it means.
And also still mean to have an influence with the people that's on the street. So Therefore, when you think about your average gang member that make you clutch your purse, I still got the influence that I could go tell them, "Hey, man, chill," and they'll have that respect for me.
Yeah.
And everybody. Not everybody, because I know one of your brewers is definitely not in the gang, but. What is the percentage of employees at True Colors? Do you know? Is it like a 50-50? Is it?
It's a good amount.
Okay.
About 90-10, 80-20, yeah. I give
okay.
a take.
It's a good amount.
So that's pretty remarkable. So, all right. How, without getting too personal on, you know, I don't need your life stories, but like what, you guys now have influence over folks on the street, like you said, press, but what influenced you to start with a gang and then eventually start with True Colors?
Well, actually, it's crazy because I actually got involved in True Colors in a weird way. Our CEO actually gave me he actually reached out to the district attorney, Ben David, in our area and said, "Hey, I want to know what's going on with all this gang stuff going on, all this gang shooting. I want to meet the top dogs in town." So, strangely for me, I had a detective call me, and someone such as me who's been to jail, got a criminal background, I immediately ready to rip my phone and get missing. Like, how does this guy get my number? What do you want? So, Jersey actually wanted me to meet him. So, I mean, unlike most people, I got in a shirt and tie, Google drawers, like, hey, let me see if this is a setup. I won't set myself up. Actually went to talk to him, and he told me he wanted to actually change the perception. He wanted to give people livable wages so they don't got to be on the streets. Because what we found out, it was an economic issue driving the violence. And so, giving my homeboy the opportunity to actually change their living situation is one thing that influenced me, because I felt like if I could do it, I could actually turn someone else on, actually help them better their life as well.
So I got a couple questions. Right. Fresh out of college many, many years ago, my first job, I worked at Polk Youth Center when it was over by the fairgrounds. 18 to 22-year-old youth prison for felons. There were people in there from anything from check fraud to multiple murders, multiple rapes. So I spent a year and a half in that world. My dad was a cop. My brother was a cop. So I was all around the law enforcement world growing up. And I wanted to be that. I wanted to be a state trooper. I wanted to be a Raleigh police officer. I wanted to be a Wake deputy. And I couldn't get on any of those, right? I had knee surgery in high school. RPD wouldn't let me in the academy. Didn't think I could do the PT. So I went to the prisons, worked there for a year and a half. And I tell people that as an officer, when you're in that prison, you're in that prison. Right, for 8 hours, you are in prison because you can't even leave the cell block you're watching. But I give you that because I've got a little perspective. How old are you guys now, if you don't mind telling us? Because to me, that I think that's relevant here.
30.
Okay.
33.
Okay. So, and you've been involved in this project for about 3.5-4 years
yes.
at this point. So you were mid-20s.
Yes.
Where did you see your life at that time? Did you even look past today? Did you look past next week? What did you look at that time? Because to me, it's just amazing what you're doing right now and the things that you guys, and I read the article last year, and I'm just, as you can tell, I'm just amazed at what's happening here. But where did you see your worlds at that time?
Honestly, I didn't see myself alive or free between the ages of 18 and 21. Yeah. So after I reached 21, I kind of just stopped thinking about it and just started kind of going with the flow.
Yeah. So Right, and that's kind of, I heard that story when I was, because I knew that I wasn't going to be working there a long time. I wasn't a career going to be a correctional officer, but I dug deep, man. I wanted to know. So when did you first get involved in criminal activity or gang activity? And if I ask something you don't want to answer, you don't have to answer.
No, I don't mind answering.
I'm just trying to get perspective here.
I did my first bit of time at Dodge Youth Development Center at the age of 14.
Okay.
So it was a little bit before then, so I'll say about 13.
Okay. So to go from 13 to 30 to where you are now, so let's just continue to pick up. You're one of the original founders.
Yes, sir.
So you'd gotten a shirt and a tie. You went and met with, and what's his name again?
George.
George. You went and met with George, and you said before we went on air that George is a serial entrepreneur.
Yes.
So is he a Wilmington native, or he just came to Wilmington? And
I want to say, I think George is actually from Virginia, but okay, actually been in Wilmington for a large part of his life.
Okay. So he reaches out to you, you meet with him, and how did that go from there?
Well, for one, I was scared leaving the building because I'm like, I still don't believe this is real. How did this white guy get my phone number? Why does he want to help black people? What the hell is this?
I love it.
But actually, I didn't
Very
hear.
Very suspicious.
Yeah.
Of course.
I didn't hear from George about maybe 6 months to a year because George actually wrote me off because I didn't look the part.
Okay.
What does that mean, you didn't look the part? You weren't scary enough?
Straight enough?
You were wearing a shirt and tie?
Yeah, when you look at BET or things like that, that's what most people get their perceptions from of a gang member, where like the media.
Well, that's what I wanted to get to. I'm glad you brought that up because we talked about clutching pearls earlier, and that's not like an exaggeration, right? So if you're not directly involved or have friends, family in that lifestyle, all you know is what you see on TV, what you read about in the paper.
Right. Or Facebook.
Facebook's just its own beacon of truth.
It is. It still counts. For that group that's going
to believe it. But you understand what I'm saying. So what do you think people get the most confused by, or what's most wrong with their perspective, what they think when they think gang members?
That all gang members want to hurt you.
Okay.
And that's their only mission and that's solely built off violence. That's bullshit.
Yeah, that's the main one, is you got a lot of organizations and you have good and bad apples. And to think that all gang members are bad is just, I always thought was kind of laughable.
I don't think they're any different probably than the general population, right? I mean,
pretty much.
You know, I passed some bad people, I bet, driving down Highwoods Boulevard just in that little short mile. So they get the perception that you have to be from a certain side of town, or you have to be a certain color, you have to be a certain way, or dress a certain way, or act a certain way to be bad. Now, there's bad people everywhere, man. And there's good, on the flip side of that, there's fantastic people everywhere as well.
So what's it mean to be in a gang then? If it's not just all about the violence, which is what a lot of people think, what's it mean? What attracted you there? What brought you in?
I wouldn't call it, I don't necessarily like the word gang.
Sure.
Gang is two or three people involved in criminal activity and everything like criminal activity. So I'd rather use family instead of organization. Okay. But as far as my organization, like what drew me towards it was just seeing that family connection and seeing how God stuck together. And as I learned more about it, understanding the core beliefs and the values, understanding that, hey, we was already taking up for our community, but you got a whole national organization that's built off taking up for your communities, fighting for the rights of the people and actually protecting the people that you see being oppressed every day. So that's actually what drew me towards it.
Yeah, y'all, I think y'all, the news and the media only portrays the negative aspects of it, but it's a whole nother side to my organization, and I think a lot of other organizations have a positive aspects to them, which is like education, politics, even science. It's a lot of guys that go on to college, and we believe in education, and it's a lot of guys that can speak to that. So just leading the youth in a more positive, constructive way than, you know, going out here and crashing out, so...
So, you say your organization, and if we're not going to mention what they are, that's fine. If you want to, that's fine, too.
Bonnie Hunter, whoop.
Yeah, Billy, 031-93.
What does that mean? Is that your...
It's my set, my hood.
Okay, gotcha, ones. Okay. So, I mean, I'm, you know, not necessarily Holly Springs Mafia here, but I am not versed in the ways of the lingo. You know what I'm saying? No, but all that to say,
he's the least street white boy you're going to see. That's what he's saying.
Well,
got you.
I can dance at a wedding after a few beers.
Whoa.
So, no, all that to say, like, it's, I think it's important to get the, all of this message out. So you've got, you guys represent different groups, right?
Right.
Yes.
And you love those groups, your family, whatever you want to call them. Have you had any issues at the brewery with two different factions? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How are they dealt with? When that happens, you know it's inevitable. I mean, it's got to happen. It happens between normal people anyway, right?
It's Hold a great up. Question.
Not,
they are normal people.
It's not what right. I, you know what I, don't start, we don't start it. That.
We understand.
It happens that people, with people who aren't affiliated, I should say, right? So yeah. What, how do you deal with it? This is really one of the reasons why this brewery was,
and
was made, right? To deal with this stuff in a healthy manner. So yeah. How's it dealt with?
Well, when George actually first started, like we say, he's a serial entrepreneur, so he's very strategic. He knew in order for this to work, he had to hire the leaders first. So that's the first thing he did, was hire all the leaders. So when we normally have problems between two different organizations, we actually depend on the leaders and their homeboy to actually use their influence to diminish that situation before it turns into something else.
Whether they are involved in the brewery or not?
If you involve, eventually you kind of be involved in it indirectly, because if the leaders are at this building, you pretty much know who they are. So when an issue happens, it's a lot of mediation. We try to jump ahead of it, or jumping on social media. If we see something staring up, hey, little bro, chill. Don't say nothing. So it's a lot of proactive communication going on to try to stop. And we pretty much have a good enough relationship to talk in that office and curve things before it go another route.
I mean, even outside, like, for example, I stay in a GD neighborhood, so pretty much most people would think that's an enemy neighborhood. I stay in the enemy neighborhood, but when there's problems, I'm able to go and talk to those guys, like, hey, is there any way that we could actually resolve this before it actually goes left? And once there's a mutual understanding and respect, guys are more receptive to actually hearing what you got to say.
Do you bring them beer?
If they want it.
And be like, guys, we need to chill out and talk about this over a beer. I mean, we're going to get to the beer, but I'm too intrigued right now. So, and I think other people that are listening will be as well. So you say you live in, quote, enemy territory, right?
Yeah.
Okay. How long have you lived there and why?
About a year, and that's where my kids at. I mean, and it don't bother me. I feel like I'm okay wherever I go at.
Well, is it like an opportunity for you to kind of, I don't know, just... How do I say this? Is it an opportunity for you to bring people together rather than, do you see it as anything like that or no?
I do. I think before I get full scale, it takes time, because I already got respect out there. So just because they respect me, they may not respect another homeboy. And so sometimes that kind of stuff takes time. But
gotcha.
I do see that as a possible opportunity, because it's very understood that if a guy's with me, I don't have to worry about, no matter what he got going on, ain't nobody going to do nothing to him. Out of respect for me, and it's the same vice versa.
Then you got to realize, right, we came to a point where the area we at, they kind of label everybody as gang, even if you around them. So a lot of the beef be isolated. But if you're looking from an outside perspective, you would think it's all gang beef. Because we all went to the same schools, we're from the right. same neighborhood. So when they're watching these things, you can easily say, oh, this was gang beef. But a lot of it don't be.
So do you think the media in Wilmington, and whether it's the TV, radio, any of it, do you think that they perpetuate it by relating it all to gang when it's really not?
Yes, because crime sells.
Yeah.
It does. And
entertainment.
And that was truly the answer I expected there. But I think that's a 24-hour news cycle that we have to fill. And whether it's gangs, whether it's politics, whether it's sports, whether it's anything, they're all putting a spin on something to get eyeballs and ears. And I don't think it helps us as a country.
Propaganda.
Right? Propaganda,
dangerous.
Man. Yeah, absolutely. And I don't think that helps us as a country, especially as we break it down to the neighborhood level. And we just had a little something silly happen where I live. And it was so silly, but to watch people divide over it and got nasty, like slanderous, and it was just amazing. And I promise you, nobody's in a gang in this group, and they all just went at each other hard, and I'm sitting there going, man, why can't we just be good human beings?
They were definitely two different factions, though.
It was an opportunity to be a good human being, even if someone you didn't like, because his child could have been hurt really bad. It was a car wreck. And instead of reaching out and going, hey, man, I'm glad your family's okay, people just started going at it hard. And this is not gang. This isn't in a bad part of town. It's just amazing. But yeah, you know where it started? Somebody posted something on Facebook about it. And then it was spiraled out of control.
Social media, man.
WRAL News. And who's our folks here? WRAL owns this building we're in and this station. They put it on the news. Somebody else picked it up and put it on Facebook and just were gone from there. So, yeah. So
disclaimer, WRAL didn't.
No, WRAL didn't stir it up. No.
All they did was post a story.
They just reported. They just reported that.
Somebody made an assumption and tried to spread that rumor.
They reported that a power pole was taken down and power was going to be out for X number of hours while Duke Energy repaired it. And then they took and ran. So how do y'all deal with that? Do you sit down with the media? Have you had any conversations? Is George persist?
I try to stay away from the media personally.
Okay,
because I do know they will twist your words.
Absolutely.
They will edit out the part that you want to be said and tell the story they want to tell.
That's true.
Yeah. But I do think it's important, though, because
sensationalism, again.
Yeah, but nobody can tell our story better than us, so I feel like it's important that we continue that fight with the media.
Yeah.
Yeah, being that I work in marketing, we talk about this all the time, and I think our best weapon is to always have proactive communication, because people got to realize this is a generational issue, and we're in the very beginning stages of doing something about it, so we ain't saying we got the answer or, you know, it's perfect, but we just a group of guys, a group of people coming together to try to stop some things. And we try to stay ahead of that by always being proactive, speaking about it, and being thought leaders behind the concept.
Yeah, you're right. It is generational and didn't get started that way, and it won't end. You know, it's going to take time. It's going to take positive influences and people like you guys and George. And, I mean, I'm just, you know, it's very moving to hear this, to hear your story.
So why beer?
We can't sell other stuff. But when you got a group of guys and you're thinking about a product where you can employ a lot of people really quickly, a brewery is the first thing to come to mind. Because then in our area, breweries are popping up left and right.
Yeah.
The beer industry is really booming, so that kind of led us towards our decision about a brewery.
Think about it. So many jobs in making beer, from marketing, HR, to actually making it, to cleaning up. It's a lot of economic opportunity, and it's the perfect conversation starter, to be honest with you. Over a beer, you're liable to say anything, and sometimes
that's key. Actually, self-promotion here. Actually, on the domain name beerissocial.com, because beer is social.
Tell George.
If you want it, he can come get it. I mean, I own a bunch of them, but anyway, that's just one that I did because beer is social. We sit down, we have a beer, and hopefully we can talk about our issues and our problems and enjoy the beer, but enjoy the conversation. And let's get to the beer. Let's talk about the beer. What are you brewing? What's your flagship beers? Or you just tell us about what you got.
We actually only brewing one style of beer, and that's a light lager. 2.6 carbs, 96 calories.
Okay.
4.2% ABV.
Okay.
So, I mean, the reason why we chose that, because when you think of mainstream America and you look at all the beer drinkers, you got domestic beer that's just taking over. And most people think, like, with all the brewers, you got to know much about beer, like hops. And somebody like me from the hood, I just want, like, a Corona, something light. And I don't know what you call it. I don't know much about beer at first. And so that's also a good introductory beer. So people from everywhere could drink this beer. And people don't got to feel like they have to be a beer snob to know too much about it.
It meets the masses for sure.
Like me, never had beer, never was a beer lover before True Colors, but it's not too hoppy. It's not too, you know, it's the perfect beer to introduce me into the beer world. So, I drink it now. So,
you guys are all wearing True Light. Is that the beer, the name of the beer?
True Light.
Yes, okay.
Premium True Light Lager.
I am not a smart guy, but I put that together.
True Colors is sort of like the headquarter company, and we got True Light under that. So
cool.
So what is the plan? What you got True Light out right now? It's in package, it's on draft. Is that just going to be the focus of the brand, or is there plans to expand what you guys are brewing?
I mean, for now, we want to go ahead and get one thing down pat first before we actually start branching off into other things. And we've also found out it's good to stay focused. If you kind of start going off in a whole lot of different things, you kind of lose people. And we want to keep people in tune with our brand, our beer, and everything about it. So we stick them in one for now. And
plus, we got a social mission, too. So, yeah, you know, we still got to consider that and take our time and still do a lot of work, a lot of speaking engagements, really change a perspective on this whole, you know, gun violence issue in a lot of communities. So we just want to be ahead on that as well. So.
So you say you have a lot of speaking engagements. How does that all incorporate with beer and everything? So it,
yeah, it's weird. It's a crazy dynamic. You know?
I will say, because I done spoke at numerous events and places, but those are all potential buyers. Those are all potential people who go to the store and buy a 12-pack when they sit on the shelf. And it's also a chance to change perceptions. Yeah. So now if I'm in front of a million people or in front of a college class, hey, now I don't look at this black guy who I always see walking. I don't look at him the same no more. Or, yeah, hey, when I see this beer in the grocery store, hey, I know the guy that made it. So now I'm more intrigued to buy it. And so that's how it correlates for me personally.
Yeah.
I guess what are these? So you're talking about speaking in front of college classes and stuff like that. How are you guys getting these speaking engagements?
Well, yeah, people reach out to us a lot. We got a lot of like-minded organizations that I've learned now throughout my 5 years at True Colors that a lot of people want to do something about the problem, but they just don't have a platform where they feel comfortable and they're able to speak about it in the way that we speak about it. So they reach out to us and be like, hey, whatever we can do to help, even if that's giving you guys a platform to talk about, you know, your beliefs behind it, or we take your beer and help you sell it. So a lot of people reach out. They reach out all the time.
I just got so many questions. I don't know which one to go.
I just saw the wheels turn, but nothing's coming out.
No. How have you been received by the brewing industry? I know Wilmington has a very vibrant brewing industry. They have a vibrant association down there. How have you guys been received by those folks?
Oh, believe it or not, it's been awesome. And trust me, it was scary at first being the only black guy that you know that brew, or the only black brew that you ever saw. But those guys, yeah, yeah, I mean, it was nervous. Yeah, I never saw a black bull before until now, I guess.
And you go to a beer festival, you're in the minority, that's for sure, my man.
Yes, but believe it or not, big shouts out to Rice to Beach Brewery, New Anthem, and all those guys. Because along this trip, they have taught me numerous of things. I wouldn't know beer if it wasn't for those guys.
Yeah.
They're very welcome and receptive. They'll give you the shout out they back if they can.
Yeah, that's good. It's good to hear.
All love, man.
Yeah, so you actually brought that up, and I want to revisit. So when I was asking about your brewing experience prior to True Colors, you just started laughing at me. And you said it was when I was with True Colors. But you said Wrightsville Beach Brewing, you actually kind of went there, made yourself available, and trained with Kevin, right?
Yes, I did for about a year and a half. Like, hey, man, I don't know shit about beer. See your brewery is working. Can you teach me? I'll work for free. You tell me what time to be here. And I'm just like pretty much your son, your June bug.
So were you... You were a part of True Colors at that time.
Yeah.
Were they paying you, or you just were there as a free internship?
No, True Colors was paying me.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So Riceford wasn't. Yeah, and that's, I mean, I know when you guys were at Mason Jar, you had a couple people come down that interned with you guys. I mean, you might have paid them a little something, but yeah, I was thinking there was something you didn't
pay at
all.
A lot of that's basically with their curriculum through Tech or whatever brewing program they're going through.
So I think, you know, as a whole, I think the brewing industry is very collaborative.
Yes.
You know, when Adam and I started doing this podcast, along with Joe, who's not here, obviously, we started doing this podcast 7.5 years ago. There were 56 breweries in the state of North Carolina. We're now pushed in right at 400. So when there was 56 across the state, and there were pockets of it, Wilmington had Front Street, and that was it. Asheville had 8 or 10. Winston-Salem had a couple, and they were just kind of spread out, and then they started popping up. But everything was collaborative then, because there was no competition, because there was enough people to support that 56. And now you got 400, and to hear that it's still collaborative is fantastic, because, you know, we're a state of almost 11 million people now. 400 breweries and 11 million people, there's no saturation. There's really not. And I remember we were talking about it when it got to 80 or 100. Like, man, when's it going to get saturated? Well, here we are at 400, and most of them are still making money, because we only lose a few every year, and then we start another, you know, whatever we lose, we add back and gain some more.
In the spirit of collaboration, in the spirit of everybody getting along, have you guys had any discussion of doing reaching out to any breweries and doing some special collabs at their places?
We actually did do a collab at Rice to Beach during the time Black is Beautiful was going around.
Okay.
They actually reached out to us, and we actually did do a Black is Beautiful beer with them.
Yeah, and we had, I'm pretty sure we got a lot of opportunities popping up because I got a lot of emails to go through. So, yeah, we got breweries reaching out. It's been all love, and we've done things in the past with breweries and doing social events and stuff like that just to mingle with people and get to know people and talk about the mission. So, yeah, it's always a collaborative opportunities coming.
Yeah, and I feel like you guys, believe it or not, what is the matter with me?
It's okay, man.
Believe it or not, light lager in the craft world is a niche.
Yeah.
Beer, right? It's a niche style. It's not because everybody, Press, you collabed at Wrightsville Beats and they brew, 15 different beers a year, whatever, plus, right? So, but not a whole lot of light lagers floating around. Actually, I had New Anthems yesterday, but anyway. But what I'm saying is that it feels like is the perfect guest tap for like every regular craft brewery, right? If they're going to bring in a guest tap, bring in this one because it's a well-made beer. It's definitely the closest thing they're going to have for their domestic beer drinker, right? And it's got a great story behind it.
One of the best stories in the state, and certainly I can't think of a mission that's any better than this, and there's some great missions out there, but yeah, absolutely. I like it.
Perfect catalyst.
Yeah, well, that being said, what are you guys doing to spread the beer in addition to spreading your word? But what are you doing to get out there, distribute your beer, and where can people find it?
Well, in 2 weeks, you can actually find it here in the 919 in Raleigh-Durham area through Brothers and Mutual Distributing.
Yeah.
Johnson Brothers. Yeah, I got
you. So in the next 2 weeks, you guys should be seeing this in your local grocery stores. Or if you know anybody who works there, just feel free to reach out. Hey, can we get True Light down here?
Is it going to be just package or are you sending kegs up here as well that could be in restaurants and bars?
Whatever you guys
want. Okay.
So you have both draft and package. Mm-hmm. Are they all 12 packs?
12 ounce. Six packs. 19
they're six tall
packs.
Boys.
Oh, you're doing 19 too?
Yeah, we're doing 19 stove pipes. As well.
That's perfect.
Doing it all.
That's fishing beer.
Yeah, we'll be headed. We're in North Carolina right now, but we're moving to Maryland, D.C., South Carolina, Georgia.
Virginia.
Yeah, so we got plans to expand this year, definitely.
So you guys, I'm assuming you got a tap room where people can come down there and hang out.
Yeah, because of COVID, we kind of pushed the date back. But as soon as the numbers get a little under control, we always have people coming in.
Are you seen in your tap room? Because of the color of your skin and your mission, are you seeing more African-American people coming in there? Or is it still a lot of guys are like me and Adam?
It's a lot of guys. You got it mixed, but it's like a lot of guys like you and Adam because people who look like me, they're familiar with our story. They're familiar with these type of conditions.
Right.
So you got guys like you and Adam who like, oh, my gosh, I've never seen a black guy. Never met a gang member. Yeah. I want to know more.
Seriously.
I grew up on a tobacco pig and cattle farm in Holly Springs. Yeah. So let me tell you. They were my best boys growing up. We were like, I thought they were my brothers. I've hung out with a lot of black dudes. You know, Adam's from Northern Maryland out there in the country.
I'm not having this conversation. It's getting awkward.
But it is a very, even Bomb Brothers Beer Company in Cary, through the Pink Boot Society, which is women in beer, they did a collaboration a couple of years ago. And one of the things that they really tried to do was they reached out to a lot of the African-American influencers in the area, business owners, whatever, and wanted them to come in and be a part of that collaboration just because the tap rooms tend to be so...
not diverse.
So, yeah, they're not diverse at all. I think that's another mission that we've got to... We as a group, everybody in the industry has got to find the way to how do we market this beer? How do we market this product? How do we get those people into? And I think some of it's comfort.
Yeah,
it is.
You know, I think it's comfort because just like you said, you walked into the first brewers meeting probably.
My first time, dude.
That's one of the main things we're trying to hit on is just try to be synonymous with unity. And when people see that can, they think of uniting. And trailblazing and doing something different. So you got a lot of people that come in there and just ask a lot of questions. And like I say, we never had a platform where we were able to talk
right,
from two different sides, right, and really have a transparent conversation and grow. And they always come back and be like, you know what, whatever efforts you guys need me, we're in. So they join the mission. You know, they get down with the game, man.
Well, one thing you guys are doing for that mission, and how we got connected, was you are focusing on having a social media influence beyond just your own walls, right?
Right.
So you're teaming up with Instagram influencers, people like that, yep, to help spread the word.
Right.
Tell me a little bit about that.
Well, we got a ambassador program we just launched. We're definitely a beer company for people. You know, so many different people came into the building, and we realized that it's definitely about unity. So we opened the door for pretty much anybody to become an ambassador. And if you got a presence, it doesn't even take a lot. We just want you to drink the beer, enjoy it, and really anybody, the regular person, can join the mission. So we try to give these influencers the opportunity to put themselves out there and talk about how they joined the mission and how revolutionary and important it is for people to be aware of what's going on. So we use social media as a big tool for that.
If somebody is interested in becoming part of that in any way, mm-hmm, can they just reach out to you guys? Or
yeah, we pretty open, man. You go on social media, DM us, and send us an email. I personally open up these emails, and we try to be as transparent and connected as possible. So I personally try to read every single one of them. So
how can people follow you guys? How can people find you guys on social media?
We at True Colors Brew, TRU Colors Brew, on pretty much all platforms. Instagram, Facebook, you can find us as TRU, because a lot of people be like,
no
TRU.
E.
No,
right.
E. TRU stands for Truth, Responsibility, Unity, and Colors Brew. And we pretty much be there.
So beer's coming to the Triangle in the next couple weeks, mm-hmm, consistently.
Yep.
Consistently.
So we're looking at like grocery stores, bottle shops. I know Tori had emailed me about, yep, barbershops, which is interesting. So you guys are even going beyond just traditional,
right,
grocery stores, bottle shops, right, bars.
But that's a big thing in the culture, understanding the African-American culture. The right. Barbershop is like the me growing up in the country. You had the country store where the farmers would gather around and they try to solve all the world's problems. Mm-hmm. Same thing happens in the barbershop in the African-American culture.
Huge,
right?
Conversation.
I mean, you've seen the movies, right? Come on.
Yeah. Huge.
Here we go again.
Huge.
Here we go again. Wayne breaking down stereotypes.
Yeah. Hey, he's right. It's huge. Culturally, the barbershops are the spots you always talk. And we talk with a lot of local barbershops that was welcoming us to put our coolers in there with fridges with True Colors all over. And it's a conversation starter. So What better place than a barbershop?
Like it. Yeah, because the conversations get started there and they go from there.
Yep.
Yep. Absolutely.
What, I don't need exact because it's up, mm-hmm, to retailers, but what are the price points of these? Do you know?
Yeah. I mean, you're good. I'm the marketing.
I say about $12.99 for a 12-pack.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. So it's...
Yeah, it's very
affordable. This is serious. Like, this is, I mean...
Going right after the macros.
Well, yeah. And I applaud that. And it's amazing that you're able to do that. It's great that you're able to do that, especially with your mission, especially with... I mean, one of the things you led with when we started this thing, Press, was you talked about gang violence is one of the reasons for it is because of economic problems, right?
Right. Yes.
And you also don't want to be frustratingly ironic and come out with, you know, $22 12 packs of light lager, right?
Right.
You want it to be something that's accessible to everybody, right?
Definitely.
So that's exciting for me. I think it's going to be exciting for a lot of people too. Everybody likes doing something that they can just feel good about doing. And if they enjoy it as well, it's even better, right?
Right.
I mean, it's like you go to any charity event, you're going to probably throw a few extra dollars in there in the raffles or whatever.
Sure.
If you're drinking a beer that's going toward a good mission, you're likely to get that extra 12-pack and bring it to the party or whatever you're going to.
And I think you guys hit on it earlier about media. I think the average person's kind of getting tired of the propaganda and all the things being said, and we as people got to learn to come together and really talk amongst ourselves about some things like we really do at True Colors. Is we ask people to come. If you don't know, you can really come down there and get a tour, sit down with us, and we'll talk to you about our thoughts behind this mission and why we believe what we believe. And it's a lot of people that want to give back. I've personally, my 5 years, you got a lot of groups that want to do something about it, but they just don't have the platform.
They don't know how to do it. Yeah.
They don't know how to do it. So this opens that up to say, you know what? We all have our stereotypical thoughts, or some ignorance in some cases, but after a couple conversations and those subtle changes, you people change. I've changed. A lot of people in the brewery changed a lot of their perspective about many different things.
Well, and a lot of times when it's based on ignorance, it's not, it is inherently offensive,
right?
But it's not intended,
right?
Right. It's because of lack of education, lack of understanding, mm-hmm. and people not having conversations like this.
There is no stereotypes. It's a two-way street. I mean, they look at you guys mm-hmm. and see something that more often than not, it's not true. And I'm sure that you guys look at us or them and sometimes think the same things, right?
I thought you was a police officer when I first saw you.
Yeah.
I swear I did.
No, he just
That's
wanted
usually
to be
the one. White guy's a police.
Right. So, right. So it's a two-way street, and everybody always thinks it's one way.
Definitely.
And it's not. And I gave up Main Street Media over 9 years ago just because I got tired of people telling me how to think. And I'm not, like I said, I'm not a smart man, but I can form my own thoughts and can't form words sometimes, but it just really got to the point where I read my news because I can pick and choose what to read. And there's a lot of things going on in the world around me that people go, hey, did you hear about? No, I didn't. Well, it was all over the news. Yeah, good. I didn't watch the news. You know why? Because I don't want to sensationalize it. I don't want to build that up.
Right.
But, man, I love what you guys are doing. Any way that we as 919 Beer can be a part of spreading your word, man, I'm all in.
Yeah.
I think Adam is too.
Yeah, for sure.
Obviously.
Yeah, and you know, we had talked, I guess, when we started talking back, all the way back to 2021, about getting a trip together probably this spring or summer and heading down. So right, we've been talking about doing a Wilmington trip for a while.
I'm thinking a Josh Satin trip, maybe.
Okay.
Josh is a friend of ours.
Text him back. He actually texted as we were recording.
Definitely got to come through there, man.
Yeah. No, we're excited. We're excited for you guys. Thrilled you guys came up here and battled the elements. Anything else you want people to know before we let you go? I think
we've
covered
a lot of ground.
Are y'all
doing any events, anything like that happening down there we need to know about?
Yeah, I just want people to go buy True Light, you know.
Doing any like launch events for the Triangle as you spread out or no?
Yeah, we got a lot of things we want to keep under wraps. So we got a lot of huge.
So follow social media to find out.
Follow us on social media. Go on our website at truecolors.co. That's truecolors.co. And we got a beer locator on the page that you can see everywhere the beer is present. And I just want people to know that, you know, it's time to come together and it's time, you know, to have real conversations and, you know, just do something differently.
I've got one last really serious question.
Yeah.
How are your ratings on Untappd?
That's great.
Yeah, I feel like that's some antitrust laws.
I bet they're going to be really good.
Yeah, we're kind of winning in that aspect.
I love it. I love it, man. We know people.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, Spree and Press, thank you guys for coming on. True Colors, look for True Light coming soon. Hopefully one of the places you will find it will be House of Hops.
And I don't know. I came in late, but I see some swag bags over here.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they got some stuff. They didn't bring any beer.
And here's what I'm going to say.
Amateurs.
Here's what I'm going to say, though. For anybody else coming to the podcast soon, the guys that have been on the breweries, the folks that have been on this year, man, they're killing it with the swag.
They are.
So just pay attention. Follow up. We'll have pictures probably if you want to get some ideas of what to bring.
Yeah. Anyway, special thanks to House of Hops. Three locations around the Triangle, two in Raleigh, one in Pittsburgh. Make sure you get by there. Ask them to start carrying some True Light for you. Lots of events and great things going on there, and we thank them for supporting us. Next week, we hope Joe will be back.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, we're kind of getting...
He'll be back.
Kind of getting the hang of it now. Yeah, man, I do miss him. Joe's the glue that holds this together.
He really is. He really is. Without Joe, where would we be? Really? we will be back.
Sitting in the Fight Club doing a podcast, probably.
That's probably true. No, but next week we're going to jump back across the state. We're going Charlotte. Wooden Robot's going to be here.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. They got Good Morning Vietnam.
They do. They do. That Coffee Blonde Ale. It's a nice beer. So
nice.
Yep. Anyway, thank you guys for listening. True Colors, thank you guys so much for coming on. We're looking forward to
appreciate you
seeing what you guys are doing.
Thank you for having us.
Awesome. We'll see everybody next week.
Cheers.
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 You've been listening to the 919 Beer Podcast with hosts Joe Ovius, Adam Eshbaugh, and Wayne Holt. Don't forget, there are many ways you can listen to this podcast, including streaming at WRALSportsFan.com, the WRAL Sports Fan app. And you can also subscribe for free at Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Pocket Casts, and TuneIn. This podcast also airs Saturday mornings at 8 on Buzz Sports Radio. Thanks again for listening to the 919 Beer Podcast.